This WBEZ podcast is supported by Ravinia, with over 100 concerts under the stars this summer, including Daryl Hall and Elvis Costello, Norah Jones with special guest Mavis Staples, The Beach Boys with special guest John Stamos, Shaggy and TLC, Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and more. Their 30-acre park is nestled in a gently wooded area. Bring your own picnic or eat at one of the park restaurants. Tickets available now only at ravinia.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Suicide is a topic that hides in the shadows. It's time we talk away the dark, learn how to spot the warning signs for suicide, and how you can have an open, caring, real conversation to help save lives. Visit the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention to watch the new short film and learn more at afsp.org/talkawaythedark.
Hey, Reset fam, it's Sasha. Before we get to the podcast, I have a very exciting announcement to make, which is that Reset is launching its very own newsletter. Each morning, our stellar digital engagement producer, Claire Hyman, will share the big stories that everyone is talking about, and she'll introduce you to neighbors around our city. It's a fun way to stay in the know and to be part of the conversation. You can subscribe now by going to wbez.org/reset and enter your email. All right, on with the show. For now, the Supreme Court has ruled to continue allowing access to the abortion pill mifepristone. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Two weeks ago, a Texas judge ruled that more than 20 years ago, the FDA improperly approved mifepristone. That's a drug used in more than half of all abortions in the U.S., as well as to manage miscarriages. After Friday's SCOTUS ruling, the case goes back to an appellate court to decide on whether to rescind the FDA approval. To learn the latest development in this legal battle, we are talking to WBEZ Health and County Government reporter Kristen Schorsch. We're also joined by the executive director of the Chicago Abortion Fund, Megan Jaifo. So what were your initial reactions? I'll start with you, Megan.
I was on the soccer field with my kiddos, and it's like when you always remember where you are when something happens notable in the last year related to Roe versus Wade and the Dobbs decision and now this. And I got a phone call from a reporter, actually, who told me what had happened, and I just, like, kind of the air went out. I think all of us had been waiting for not great news. And so this little reprieve is really important for the people that we support.
Your thoughts, Kristen?
Yeah, I didn't call Megan right away, but I was texting and calling other abortion providers and just saying, hey, I want to make sure I know what this means and what it means going forward.
You're such a reporter.
I am, right? Well, it's my job, right? Because, we didn't know the Supreme Court had until 11:59 p.m. on Friday to decide. So we were just wondering, when is this going to happen today and what's it going to look like?
Yeah, so, what did your coverage look like before this ruling?
Well, I was really talking to abortion providers. I talked to Megan with the Chicago Abortion Fund here about what they were kind of bracing for, which was a variety of things. So medication abortion typically involves two pills, mifepristone, which is the one we're talking about that SCOTUS just ruled on access to, and then misoprostol. And so what the abortion clinics were telling me they were doing is they're like, well, we might have to brace for having only misoprostol only, which could create barriers for patients because you have to take more doses of it in longer periods of time. So when you think about people traveling here from out of state, they're potentially going to have to stay the night. It's less effective as the two drug combination and has much stronger side effects. And so then that also raises the questions of, are patients going to choose for more inpatient surgical procedures because they don't want to risk taking the, miso only, so to speak, and it not working and then having to come back for that procedure anyways. So there were just a lot of things flurrying in the air of what,
so many unknowns. Take another step back, if you will, Kristen. Just remind us how we got here as far as the legal battle.
Yes. So it's all very confusing, right? We've got a lot of lawsuits. We have dueling lawsuits. We had this lawsuit out of Texas that essentially is trying to invalidate the FDA's approval of mifepristone, which has the FDA approved more than 20 years ago. That made its way to the appellate court, which said the drug could remain on the market for now, but with restrictions. No more being able to mail it, and you could only take it up to 7 weeks while pregnant instead of 10, for example. At the same time, there was this lawsuit out of Washington, and Illinois was one of more than a dozen states that was part of this lawsuit. And in that lawsuit, the judge said the opposite. The status quo has to remain. The FDA cannot take away access to mifepristone. And so Illinois providers were operating on that ruling, essentially status quo. We're still going to offer mm-hmm. it. Abortion is legal and available in Illinois. So then President Biden asked the Supreme Court to intervene in that appellate court case tied to Texas, in which then on Friday night we find out, okay, so just that little piece of the access, the question, can mifepristone remain on the market? Yes, for now, while these other cases wind their ways through the court. So that's how we got here. Lots of clarity.
So Megan, then given all of this, what precedent would you say this sets for developments in this post-Roe world?
Yeah, I mean, I think we also need to be clear who filed the initial lawsuit in Texas, which in our view is an anti-abortion hate group. It's the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. And this is, you know, unwarranted political interference with basic health care. And this is the first time a court has, to my knowledge, overruled FDA approval for any drug ever in
yes.
this country.
Yeah.
And so I think that Republicans know that access to abortion is a winning issue for the left. And for single issue voters, it's now they're overwhelmingly pro-choice. Mm-hmm. People in this country are pro-abortion, are pro-access to abortion. And so they're doing back channel deals with Trump appointed judges to usurp the will of the people of this country. This is unprecedented. This Friday's ruling by the Supreme Court is like a small victory, but this never should have been in question in the first place.
So a new NPR poll out this morning, it shows that roughly 2/3 of Americans oppose banning medication abortions. So included in the poll, 62% of respondents said they have, quote, not very much or no confidence in the Supreme Court. The most notable divide was among Republican men and women respondents, with 61% of men saying they mostly have confidence in the court and 54% of women saying they don't. What do you make of that?
It's not surprising to me. You have Republicans in states trying to go as far as banning ballot measures because they know when abortion is being voted upon, it's a winning issue. The vast majority of this is one of my favorite statistics. Catholics believe in access to abortion, are pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
So the dominant narrative that that we have allowed to progress, where we have been afraid to talk about abortion publicly or afraid to say abortion, use the word and use these women's health euphemisms, reproductive choice euphemisms, I think they got us partly to where we are because the majority of people in this country support abortion.
It's been 10 months since Roe v. Wade was overturned. Kristen, tell us more from the healthcare standpoint, what else you're seeing among providers and hearing.
Well, I think it's just a lot of whiplash. It's a lot of trying to stay on message with patients when they call and come in with questions of what is still legal here? What are my options? Should I want an abortion? And so, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to a provider before the SCOTUS decision, and she was like, look, I'm not an attorney, but every single day I wake up and I'm talking to my staff about, okay, what can we do today? And what risk are we taking? And she was talking about how she wants to put the risk on herself. She doesn't want her nurses, for example, to worry about losing a license over something like that, right?
Mm.
I will say, though, that Illinois has a shield law that protects providers here should an out-of-state law enforcement come and want to issue a subpoena, for example. And so you can't get extradited for providing an abortion in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think providers are just they're kind of waiting and seeing, embracing and seeing what are we going to be able to do here? Should, you know, SCOTUS in the future come back and rule on this? You know, that appellate court case.
Yeah.
I think the next hearing is in May. But people are saying that this case likely will come back to the Supreme Court. So, you know, ruling on mifepristone access yet again.
Mm. Earlier this month, we talked to Illinois State Rep Kelly Cassidy, and she talked about these lawsuits. Here's a little bit of that conversation.
What we know is the vast majority of abortions are being performed in this way because they're less invasive, less risky. And so taking this off the table really puts a lot of people at risk. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I think that the goal of these lawsuits is as much to sow the confusion and fear that people think now that they can't get access to this medication just because they saw a headline, and then maybe that will discourage them from seeking care.
Yeah. Does what the state rep said there ring true in your work, Megan, just based on what you've been seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think chaos and confusion is kind of what they're trying to do here. So people don't know what their options are. We have people who can have abortions in their own states routinely travel to Illinois for care because they think that it's illegal where they live. And I want to be very clear that regardless of what the Supreme Court does with mifepristone, regardless of how these cases work out, you can safely self-manage your abortion with pills sourced in your community. You can do that by taking 12 misoprostol pills dissolved 4 at a time under the tongue every 3 hours, and you do not need to tell the police what you took if they ask. And I think this is really important that we uplift how to safely manage abortion at home and that is an option. People around the globe have been managing abortions with misoprostol-only regimens for decades. It is not the gold standard of mifepristone and misoprostol, but it is an effective way to terminate a pregnancy. And we need to be talking about that loudly, too, so people that cannot afford to travel or don't have capacity to travel due to, you know, childcare or work, et cetera, know that there are options close to home.
How does the Chicago Abortion Fund plan to move forward in regards to this ruling?
I mean, I think, you know, we work directly with providers and patients and our position to get people the care they want, need, and deserve by any means necessary. Since the summer of 2019, we have not turned a single caller away, and we hope we will continue to be able to do that for a very long time. And we work very closely with our partners here in Illinois. We have a very strong ecosystem of providers, abortion funds around the region, doctors, hospitals, and our electeds who are really, I think, focused on making sure that in Illinois we not only continue to protect abortion access, but to continue to expand it.
So we mentioned how mifepristone is also used to treat miscarriages, right? In our earlier conversation with Illinois State Rep Kelly Cassidy, we talked about how many of these abortion drugs are used for other purposes. Let's listen again.
My abortion was a medication abortion, and it involved a drug that is used to treat rheumatoid arthritis and many other diseases. You know, as these folks try to get clever, they're actually cutting off access to life-saving medication for other care. This is not the only use for MIFI or MISO. And so, you know, these are dangerous games these folks are playing.
Yeah, Kristen, I mean, what are you seeing and hearing as to, you know, why these are other indications for these drugs? Like, what dangers does this pose?
Of taking mifepristone away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, right. I mean, if you're using it for other, it's not only used to manage miscarriages, right? It's used for other purposes. Then there is a ripple effect here. It's a domino effect that if you take away a drug that is approved for other uses, that just means that those patients are going to have to find something else. And and what if there isn't another alternative, right? I will say Rep Cassidy and other lawmakers are part of a group of trying to preserve access to misoprostol, that second drug and the two-drug component for an abortion medication.
Right.
So that is also ongoing, even though that right now is not at risk. But
I was
going to
say,
people,
are we seeing indications that that's going to be targeted by legislation?
I haven't seen that, but I think that people potentially didn't think that mifepristone would, you know, get to a point where it is so fast.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to make sure they preserve access to that just in case.
So where does this leave us, Kristen? I mean, what is next for SCOTUS and the appeals to come?
Right. Well, we're going to watch these lower court cases, so to speak, in Washington and Texas play out. I think a lot of people are suspecting that the appellate court decision out of Texas about mifepristone access is going to come back to the Supreme Court. So I think people are just going to be watching and bracing to see what happens next in the coming year.
I'll give you the last word, Megan.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about the poll numbers that you cited earlier about people's erosion or their lack of faith in the Supreme Court now. And I'm just really curious about how we don't know what's going to come next. I mean, the last year has been awful for abortion access. And I think we just need to continue to steel ourselves and be ready to support people who need abortion care.
Executive Director of the Chicago Abortion Fund, Megan Jaifo, and WBEZ's health and county government reporter, Kristen Schorsch. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The This episode of Reset was produced by Michael Liptrop, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Dan Tucker. Get the latest on all the big stories happening in our region and across the country by subscribing to our podcast. And when you do, give us a rating and review. That's all for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.